Tahara. I talk a little bit about Parah Aduma, Parsha, and also Hilchos Me'ilah, that Sefer Avoda, Tahara and Avoda. Okay, and one more thing, a Gemara Yuma. I can't say it's a very heavy-duty shear, but it's a shear. And it's a shear that combines halacha and hashkafa. So let's start with the halacha. Of course, the halacha is a parah adum. Everyone, b'shus harav, everyone knows that Parah Aduma is famous for being the ultimate chok, something that seems to be unreasonable or without logic. So when the question is what specifically is without logic, every mitzvah has peculiar and unique details which we wouldn't necessarily think of. Even mishpatim have unique characteristics that are not necessarily logical or obvious. For example, the halacha of Ba'alavim or by Shomrim. If you are engaged in an activity and at the same time you lend or you ask someone to watch your chayfetz, that person does a pshia, he's potter. Makes no sense. Somebody not only lent me something but did me a favor while he was lending it to me. Because of that, I'm potter to pay. If I was completely negligent and let the animal out of the barn and a $2,000 animal got lost. So Shomrim itself is very logical. But the idea of the details of Shomrim are not always logical. But sometimes there's a mitzvah that is completely beyond the pale of our comprehension. And the specific thing that makes that so in the case of Parah Aduma, everybody knows. It's Metahir Esatmeyim, but it is also what? Metameh Esatol. What people generally are not aware of is that what they normally think is the case of Metameh Esatahirim is simply not true. Most people think that metamei satorim means that the mazer who sprinkles the mei anido, the mei chatos, the mayim of the parah aduma on the tamei meis, rendering him tahar, that mazer becomes himself tamei. And as fascinating an idea as it is, it's completely not true. There is no one who holds that the mazer becomes tamei. And in fact, the Rambam, let's like look at the Lashon of Rambam here. It's in the last Perek of Hilchos Parah Aduma. So the Rambam says very explicitly that on the contrary, it's a Kal V'chomer. It's not Shaykh. If he's Metayer the Tamei, how could he possibly be the Tamei himself? That's what the Rambam says. The Rambam says, Pasuk says, "Umaze mehanido yichabez mgodo." What made people think that that's the case? Because it seems to be a beferish pasuk. It says, "Maze mehanido," the one who sprinkles the mehanido, yichabez mgodo, which means, of course, that he becomes tummy. Not only does he become tummy, but his kelim become tummy. His begodim. So the Rambam says, "No." Maze me anida yechabis begodav eino medaber b'maze al hatamei. Why? Why is it eino medaber? How do you know? It's a kal v'chomer. Im tieres hatamei kal v'chomer sheyehu toha. It's inconceivable that person who's being metayer the tamei should himself in the process become tamei as a result of that act. It cannot be. Mipia Shmuel Londu Shesh Nema Batoru Mazeme Anido, We'll get to that in a moment. What's fascinating here to me is simply that the whole point of a chok that's incomprehensible. Gemara Numa quotes the pasuk in the name of Rabbi Akiva, quotes the pasuk in Kehelas of Shlomo HaMelech, Amati Achkoma V'Yirchoy Kamimeni, I thought I was wise. Shokochem Mikol Adam, right? Shlomo HaMelech, he was granted this incredible wisdom from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He knew the language of the birds, and he could understand what the dogs mean when they bark. And he said, I don't understand it either. So if you don't understand something, if it's that incomprehensible, then how can you make a Kal Vachomer? That's the whole point, that it's incomprehensible. It defies Kal Vachomers. It's not supposed to be logical. So that's a fascinating thing. Apparently, as much as the halacha defies, it doesn't defy it that much. You cannot say, it's impossible to say that the person who is sprinkling and making the tamei tahor will in that process become tamei. And this is in spite of the fact that the poshut shat of the pasuk would seem to indicate that's exactly what happens. U'mazeh mehanido yechabez v'goda. So they have to reinterpret the pasuk because it's inconceivable that the kal v'chomer should be violated. It has to be that he's tahor. Fascinating. What's very interesting, if you go a step further, is that what is possible to say is a machloikas Rabbi Akiva and the Chacham. The Gemara in Yuma Daf Yedal Ramad Aleph. The Gemara tells us that the Mishnah, which says that besides all of the avodos that the Kohen Gadol did every single day of the 7 days of preparation before Yom Kippur, they also used to sprinkle upon him the mechatos of the Parah Adumah. Now, basically, the Kohen was tahar. So the Gemara says, Masnisin deloik Rabbi Akiva. The Mishnah can't be like Rabbi Akiva. Why? Because Rabbi Akiva is of the opinion that if you are mazeh, apparently by mistake, I guess. Usually, generally, these things are not done frivolously, not with the mechatos. But by mistake, a person was mazah on someone who didn't need it because he was tahor. Guess what, says Rabbi Akiva. If you're mazah on a tahor, that tahor becomes tum. Becomes tum. And Rabbi Akiva was challenged by the Chachamim, who say, it's the Chakal V'Chomer. Madoch, if you're mazah on a tummy, the tummy becomes tahor. If you're mazah on somebody who's already tahor, how could you say that he comes tummy? They also have a Kal V'Chomer, even though Parah Aduma is illogical. So Rabbi Akiva counters and he says, no, that's exactly what Shlomo HaMelech meant when he said, Amarti Achkama V'Rechoka Mimeni. So what is the uniquely strange thing about Parah Aduma that makes it that ultimate chok according to the Chachamim? Again, no one says that the mazah ala tomei, the mazah becomes tomei. The mazah has to remain tomei. Rabbi Akiva, however, says if you mazah on a tahor, the tahor becomes tomei. The Chachamim, they say no. If you mazah on a tahor, the tahor must remain tomei. So what is the chok? So the Chachamim say, if you touch or carry the mayim of the mechatos, shelo litzorech, then you become tahor. And that's how they interpret the pasuk mazeh mehanido. That's what the Rambam passes. Go back to the Rambam perik tes vav. Halacha Aleph, the last perek, as I said, of Parah Aduma in Sefer Tahara. Hanogeya b'mechata shelo litzarech hazoya bein odom bein kelim tomei. Beinu mitami b'shas mago, has to be no say it, and it's kashir, there are all kinds of details. But that's the bottom line. Mipi ashmu alomdu, that it says mazeh mehanida, it just means how much of a shear do you have to carry in order to become tomei tumas begodim. and kamu shira. Zoyo kedei sheyitbo roshi givolim shalezav b'mayim. The halacha of ezov means the ezov has to be first saturated, and besides that, there has to be water on the surface of the ezov. And if he carries that amount of water that can do that, that can saturate the ezov plus, then he is going to become tamei. If he carries it, shaloi litzayach. So it comes out that we have three cases. One case that is definitely not so is that the mazah on the tamei, that mazah, that person should become tamei in the process. Cannot be. Then there's a case that's a machlokes Rabbi Akiva and the Chachamim. If you mazah on a tohar, will the tohar become tamei? Rabbi Akiva says yes. And then you have the case where you just simply carry shaloi letzarech, that the Chachamim say he becomes tamei. And that is the quote-unquote unusual or absurd or illogical situation, that which is a source of tahara, but that's only when you carry it letzarech, but if you carry it shaloi letzarech, it's metamei. That is the halacha. I had a question which bothered me for a very long time, over many years, until I finally decided to look for the answer. And actually, it's a question that's been raised by quite a number of gedolim over the years in different places. And that question is simply as follows. Rabbi Akiva's opinion is that if you mazah on a tohar, again, what's Rabbi Akiva's opinion? Then the tohar becomes tohar. The one who receives the water, who gets sprinkled upon, even though he was tohar 5 minutes ago, but because of the mechatos upon him, he becomes tamei. And that's the quote-unquote absurdity of the chok of paraduma, because the same thing, which if you sprinkle it on a tamei, he becomes tohar. If you sprinkle it on a tohar, he becomes tamei. That's what the kibbutz opinion. The chachamim, however, disagree, as I told you, and they say, no, he remains tohar. So I have a question. According to the Chachamim, why isn't that person tamei for an entirely different reason? Not because he's sprinkled upon, but because he becomes a noisei shaloi letzarech, or at least a noigeya shaloi letzarech. Now there is a halacha that the tiniest amount of water, it's machloikas, but there's the tiniest amount of water that touches the tamei in the process, the regular paradum, the typical process, renders him tar. It's the opposite of a mikvah. And maybe one of the unusual qualities of paradum. He has to be sprinkled on, and that sprinkling does not require what in mikvah is an absolute necessity, total immersion. Everybody knows if you go to the mikvah and one finger is sticking out of the water, you can't become tar. And here it's the exact opposite. I was often thinking that v'zarakti aleichem mayim tahorim mutardim. How much of a contact did you have to have with that spiritual mayim of HaKadosh Baruch Hu that the pasuk says v'zarakti aleichem mayim tahorim? And it's very interesting. This is a digression. This is not the hashkofa part of what I want to tell you. But it's very interesting. The Gemara at the end of Maseches Yuma. So Rabbi Akiva gets up and he says, and what Rabbi Akiva did, I remember once listening to the Rav talk about that, and he was saying that, imagine the circumstances of that drasha of Rabbi Akiva. It wasn't in Camp Keilah. It was in the midst of total churban, total desolation. I mean, the destruction after the Bar Kokhba rebellion, and the Romans reacted and they won the war against Bar Kokhba, and they simply tore everything apart. And Rabbi Akiva is there in the ruins, and he has to give Yisrael Chizuk, he's the Gadol Ador. And of course he himself is going to die sooner or later in the most cruel and horrible torture. Asara Rugi Malchus. But Rabbi Akiva is getting up and he's speaking to Klal Yisrael, and he says, Ashreichem Yisrael. He says, you don't understand, you don't have a Beis HaMikdash anymore. But, because the Pasuk says, Ki bayom hazeh yechaper aleichem l'tayrischem kol chatoseichem lifnei Hashem titoru. Has to be lifnei Hashem. And this was the avoid of the Kohen Gadol in Yom Kippur, and was made lifnei. And it was the washing shel zohoris, and he used to turn colors. If you chatoseichem kashonim kashelo yalbinu. And this is all gone. So how are they ever going to achieve kapara? Where is the Tara going to come from? He says, no. Mikveh Yisrael Hashem, and that's an incredible play on words. Because what does the Pashat Chat of the Pasuk of course mean? The hope of Yisrael is Hashem. Mikveh, Hatifla, Kaveh El Hashem. The hope of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But he said, yes, that's exactly it, but it's a mikveh too. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is a mikveh. But a mikveh you have to immerse yourself in 100%. Who's Zoichel Lekach? So right afterwards it says, V'ne'emar v'zarakti aleichem mayim tohirim u'tahartem. Immediately afterwards, as if to answer that question, so who will ever be zoicha to that total immersion? It's enough you have a connection. Just have a little bit of a connection to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and it's enough. V'zarakti aleichem mayim tohirim u'tahartem. So if you have this water on you, certainly, shalom tzorach, is it not? Shalom tzorach. Do you have any chance of Mishnayos Yochanan Boaz? Wait, you don't know which volume. And I certainly don't want you to take out all of them. So we're going to Maspara, which is in Tahara's place. Usual. I'll just give you one of the terutzim because it's right here. One of the mefarshim on Parah, on Taras, is called the Mishnah Achrona. And in Perik Yud Beis of Parah, he asks this question indirectly, and he answers it. Whenever they rewrite these, you know, they reprint it, the ksav is beautiful, the print is beautiful, the letters are larger, and I can't find anything. Because my brain is photographing the picture from 50 years ago, the old svarim. And I can't find anything at all. Even the Frankel Rambam poses for me a tremendous nisayon. I used to have the picture in my mind, and now it's all messed up because the paginations are different. But Bekitzer, this is what he says. He says that this is his opinion, and this is his answer to the question. He says, Otu b'shuftene yaskinam. I'm just saying it about Peg, still don't see it. Otu b'shuftene yaskinam. Are we speaking about, you know, bumpkins, you know, people, stupid people, ridiculous people? We're dealing with serious people. So serious people don't just, you know, go around taking the me'anida, which was very precious, by the way, and there weren't that many paradumas to begin with, and sprinkle it around on Tahirim. He says he made a mistake. He thought the man was Tameh. So he comes up with this incredible idea that if you are going to be Zorek with the intention of being Metaher, because you are assuming that the person that you are sprinkling upon was a Tameh, and it turns out that you made a toast, then that Hazor is called Hazor Litzarach. Fascinating idea. He says, Hazor Litzarech isn't measured by the reality of the thing. It's measured by your kavana. And thereby he answers some other questions which are not negated to us at this moment. But it's really a remarkable thing that the idea of Litzarech has to do with kavana. And that's his teretz. There are other terutzim perhaps, but that's a very interesting idea. So now that we've gone through this a little bit, let's just chazer it over for a moment. The normal perception of Parah Aduma is that it's metayer es hatmeyim and metame es hatorim. What does that mean? That while the person is sprinkling the mayim of the Parah Aduma, the mechatos as it's called, on the tamei, in that actual moment he becomes tamei himself. The mazeh becomes tamei himself. And it would seem that that's because the pasuk says so. Umazeh mehanido yechabiz begodov, he becomes tamei. So that everyone rejects. And in fact, the Rambam says it's a kal v'chomer. Madoch, that he can make someone tamei tor, how can he himself become in the process tamei? But then Rabbi Akiva comes along and he says, what it means is that the Parah Aduma situation, of course, will never make somebody tamei. But if the person is mazah on a tor, then that tor, the one who receives the hazor, becomes tamei. Chachamim say that's also impossible. Madoch, if you're mazah on a tamei, the tamei becomes tor. If you're mazah on a tor, of course he remains tor. So the Chachamim say, what is the Parah Aduma idea that it's a chok, the ultimate chok? Echkoma v'yirichoka mimeni. It's beyond me, I can't understand it. If you carry the Mehanida, which itself is a source of Tahara, nevertheless, if you carry it Shaloi Mitzayrech, Hazor, you become Tameh. Either Pasuk says, Umaze Mehanida, that's just for the Shir. It has to be Shir that's capable of Hazoya. If he carries that amount of Mayim, of Mechatos, he becomes Tameh if it's Shaloi Mitzayrech. So the question is, what about the Pasuk? So the Malbim and the Torah Tmima also. The Torah Tmima had a prodigious memory, but he didn't always remember the source of what he remembered. Interesting observation. And he writes himself at the beginning of the Torah Tmima, you know, you shouldn't fault me because I don't always remember where I saw it, who said it, and sometimes he thinks that he said it himself. But in this particular case, he basically says something that exactly the Malbim says, but he does add something very, very nice. And in order for me to explain it to you, if you have just a chumash, it could be either a regular chumash or a bamidbar, I just need the text itself. Yeah. Thank you. So I get the whole Tanakh. So, the Malbim says something very, very interesting and very simple. The Pasuk tells us that when he's mazah, in the case of a person who's mazah on many different things, without Mefarshim, Chukas is just a couple of pages. It's interesting. It says, "V'hisa al ha'ohel, v'al ha'kelim, al ha'nefashos." So, you have a halacha that the person who is mazeh has to be a tar. That's the halacha. So he asks a very simple question: if mazeh mehanido becomes tamei, if what you thought is the pashup shad in the pasuk is correct, that original mistake that everybody makes, then it doesn't make sense that you should be able to be maza on several things one after the other. The hiza ala kalim, right away he becomes tamei according to you. Then how could he be maza? I mean ala ohel. So how could he be maza ala kalim? And how could he be maza ala nefashos? So it's brilliant. The Malbim is saying that anyone who's maza in sequence over a number of things in time, he should not be able to ever do that if the maza becomes right away tamei. Because if we would be interpreting the pasuk maza me'anido yechabiz begodo, it means the person who sprinkles is mechabiz begodo because he becomes tamei in the act of sprinkling. So act number one should make him tamei, and then there should never be act number two, because a tamei is not allowed to sprinkle. So obviously he remains tar. So what happened to Mazeh Me'anida? The answer is it's l'shir. It's very beautiful. What the Torah Tmima adds is something very nice. He says, look at the way the psukim were organized. It says as follows. It says, Lokach Eloza Hakoin Midoma Be'etzbo, V'izol Nochach, this is the Parah Aduma itself. Then it says, V'sorach Es HaPorah Le'enov, he should burn the Parah, Lokach Hakoin Eitz Erez, V'ishlich Al Toch Sreifas HaPorah. So you do the Parah, and then you burn the Parah, and then the Sreifas HaPorah, you take the Eitz Erez and Ezer. Then it says, V'chibes Begodov Hakoin, V'rachatz B'sor B'mayim V'chayovu L'machan V'tomei Al-Orav, V'asoreif Oso Yichabez Begodov, Brachatz b'sor b'mayim b'tomei ad ha'arif. In other words, and then it says, the asaf ishtoris efer ha'para, v'chibes ha'osef esef ha'para is b'godav. In all of the cases before, right after it tells you what the different stages in the preparation of the parah aduma was, the pasuk also says that in those stages, after he did what he did, he becomes tamei, and he has to be toivo. He has to have tevil and harushan. In other words, every time something is mentioned that that's what he does, right afterwards it says that he became Tomei. And the way it says he became Tomei is Vasarev Yichabiz B'godav. Yichabiz B'godav is a code word for he became Tomei. Masha Ein Kein. It says that Lokach Ezo V'Tovo B'mayim Ishtohar. That's so you know that has to be a tar to be toivel, to be massive. V'hiza al oil al kelim al nefashos. V'hiza hator al atomei v'chulu v'chulu. V'yish asher yitma v'lo yischato v'nichrisa. V'yisu lachem chukas olam. And then suddenly you mazimei anido yichavitz v'godav. So the Torah Tmima says, wait a minute, why is this so different? In all the other cases, whatever the actor was, there are stages in the creation of the Metzius of Parah Aduma and its Tara, right? You have to have the Parah, you have to do it a certain way, he becomes Tamei. You have to burn the Parah, he becomes Tamei. You have to gather the Eter, he becomes Tamei. So it should say, and Mazenei Anido, he becomes Tamei. But after Mazenei, but first it says he's Mazeh al Oyov, al Kalim, al Nefoshos, etc., etc., etc. And then it says, Isha She Yitma V'lo Yischato V'nichrusa. And then it says, Vayisu Lachem Chukas Olam. It went into a digression. It's finished with the Mazeh. And then it says, U'mazeh Me'anida Yechaviz B'godav. So what does that prove? That this Mazeh Me'anida is talking about something else. Because otherwise it should have said right away. You follow? So Memeila, he says, that's another proof that this is not a regular mazeme anida that he becomes tame, but rather it's talking about someone who carries shalol litzarech. Ad kan, the halacha part of the shir. There's a very remarkable Ramban which I think you should all memorize. It's very kedai to know this Ramban. The Ramban is in the end of Hilchos Me'ilah. It's very easy to find. Me'ilah is in Sefer Avodah. It's the last halacha in Sefer Avodah. The very last halacha. 14 sforim in the Rambam. Yud Dalet, Yad HaChazaka. One of them is Avodah. There are two sforim about Kodshim, Avodah and Karbonos. The first one is called Avodah. It begins with Hichos Beis HaBchir of the Beis HaMikdash, ends with Hichos Me'ilah, and the last halacha in Hichos Me'ilah, Perek Ches Halacha Ches, is this halacha that I think you should memorize. The Rambam comes up with a very fascinating idea, which is very, very comforting. You know, a lot of people would think that the Torah is something for the Vilna Gaon and the Rambam and Rashi, and like, who are we, us little people? Like, it's okay, so then what we can do maybe is learn their Torah. We can maybe try to understand their Torah. But to approach Chazal, and try to figure things out on our own, or try to say our own pshatim, never. Who am I? I'm a lilliput. I'm a minuscule little thing. I'm a little tiny sheretz on the ground. Where do I come to the Kedusha and Tara and the Chashivas of the Torah? And what right do I have even to enter its portals? On my own ideas. The Rambam says no. Listen to the words of the Rambam. Roy lo adam liz bonein b'mishpatei ha-Torah ha-Kedosha. V'leida sof in yonam kefi kocho. An amazing thing. He says it's appropriate. Roy. He doesn't say yochel or mutar. He says roy. It's appropriate for a person to look into the Mishpatei HaTorah to know pshat. Amazing thing. And he adds, kefi kocho. He understands that not everybody's the same. It's like the Brisker Rav once said, you have a sixth grader learning Baba Kama, and you have a high school boy learning Baba Kama. He didn't say high school boy, but that's the idea. High school boy learning Baba Kama, you have a smicha student learning Baba Kama, you have a tremendous Talmud Chacham learning Baba Kama, and it's the same Baba Kama. It's the same Shnayim Melechus and Batalus and Baba Metzia. It's the same Shosh and Agach HaSapar. Amazing. And everybody's learning it, and everybody understands it. The Rambam says, Roy l'Adam l'Zbonim b'mishpatei HaTorah. He adds the word Torah HaKadosha. Interesting. The Rambam doesn't have one extra word. It's not becoming frum all of a sudden. HaTorah HaKadosha. There must be a reason, and we'll soon see why. But l'Zbonim b'mishpatei HaTorah HaKadosha is Roy to look into the Mishpatim. The Mishpatim means even Chukim. But then the Rambam says the following. What's it doing in Hilchos Me'ilah? So the Rambam says, you know, you take something, this table, and it's totally chulin, and then with words alone, with human utterance, you say, this is for Hekdesh. And all of a sudden becomes becomes kashrei bedek habayis. You take a carbon, a behema, regular behema. There's no moon, fine, it's wonderful, but it's a regular behema, it's grazing in my field. And I say, zuchatos, and all of a sudden becomes hekdesh. The Rambam says, and what happens if you then use it, b'minek shalchoil, you use it for yourself, what's that called? Me'ila. Amazing. And you're guilty of something. And you're mechuyev to pay. So he says, kal v'chomer, the Torah HaKadosha. What does he mean? He says as follows. What happens if a person hits a wall? I don't understand this. So you know, there's a tremendous distance between I don't understand this and it makes no sense. And there's a tremendous distance between it makes no sense and this is ridiculous. I'm not speaking about what people, they shouldn't use those terms, but I'm not speaking about people who get excited in their learning and they really mean, I don't understand this. I'm talking about somebody who really feels that it's ridiculous, chas v'shalom, or that it doesn't make any sense, or it no longer makes sense. So the Rambam addresses these people too. He says, because there's always a danger. If I am inviting, says the Rambam, roi lo adam lizbonein, then I'm telling you that I've broken down the mechitzas between you and the Torah. So is the Torah up for grabs? Is the Torah a sport? Is the Torah something you can decide whatever you think, whatever goes on in your head, that's okay to think? He says, no. And he tells us there are three different warnings, three different things I have to worry about. What are they? So he says, Dava shelo yimtza lo tam, he won't understand it. He says, I try to make sense out of this and I don't understand it. Al yehi kal be'enav. Don't dismiss it as something that's irrelevant, trivial, a mistake. Kal. It's nothing. You know, there's a lot of, you know, in the DNA, there's a lot of stuff that they can't figure out what it's there for. A lot of static, a lot of junk. They can't figure it out. Maybe one day they'll figure out that every piece of the DNA has some purpose. But right now, they can't figure it out. In life in general, there are things, and then there's a lot of empty, nothing's going on. What about the Torah? So maybe a person can say, you know, why should I rack my brains on this? Or why should it have any meaning at all? So big deal. So once in a while, there's stuff in there that's trivial or irrelevant. Chas v'shalom. Al yehi kal be'enav. You're not allowed to think that. What else? Now the Rambam says, Val yeros la'alos al Hashem pen yifrotz bo. This is something that is another warning in the opposite direction. A person doesn't understand it. On the nigla level. So what's he going to do? He's not going to say it's silly or trivial or irrelevant. Cholila b'chas. It's super holy. You know what it is? It's Kabbalah. That's what it is. It's Kabbalah. It's the Olam HaSalyonim. And I'm going to tell you what it is. That's what the person is going to say. Now, I belong to that cheder of Rabbi Yaakov Moshe Hillel, one of the great Mekubalim of our time, who is of the opinion, as he's written about it at great length, and spoken about it as well, that you cannot enter into the portals of Kabbalah unless you know Kol HaTorah Kula. But not everybody agrees, and I guess the vast majority of people who are into Kabbalah don't agree. They don't know what they're talking about 98% of the time. And the slightest idea of what they're saying. And they know very little in Nigla, and they know even less in Nistar. But they throw around the terminology like there's no tomorrow. So the Rambam says, you can't do that. Now it's very interesting. Where does this come from? His phrase. The Rambam used a phrase which comes straight out of the Torah. Al yeres la'alos al Hashem pen yifrotz bo. The Rabban Shalom gave two warnings to Bnei Yisrael by Har Sinai. The first warning and the second warning were diametrically opposite of purpose. The first warning was, don't think that this mountain can any longer be used to graze your animals. You know why? Because it's becoming holy. Ki Yorad Hashem Olav. And I'll tell you when it's okay, when you hear the all clear signal. Bimshoch hayovel heimo yalu bochar. And in that warning, it speaks about the animals. Lusiga bo yoro sokol yisokolo yoro yoro im behema im ish lo yichye. Because it's kodesh. And you're not allowed to treat it as chol. Now Moshe Rabbeinu goes down, tells the people, stay away from the mountain, Hashem is descending upon it. Then Hashem tells Moshe Rabbeinu, go back down again. Because he went back up to the mountain. And he's already in the presence of Hashem and he doesn't want to leave. But Hashem says, no, you have to go down again. Why do I have to go down again? He asked Moshe Rabbeinu. No, because you have to warn them. So Moshe Rabbeinu says, but you already warned them. Oh, yuchal om loredes al har sinai. La'alos al har sinai, excuse me. Ki atah heidosa benu le'imur ha'gvelos ahar b'ki bashto. You told us to get away. So Hashem says, no, lech rei, go down. Tell them not to go up on the mountain. But this time around, it's the exact opposite reason. And behemoths are not mentioned in the second warning. Because the purpose of the going up on the mountain now is because it's holy. Because there's a yearning to touch the Kedusha. There's a yearning to come as close to Hashem as possible. And Hashem says, that's fine for you. Elisa atova Aaron, of Vakoyanim, even the Kaihanim, which are the Bukharim at that time. Vakoyanim v'om al yersel Hashem lirotz pen yifrotz bom. The exact lotion of this Rambam. The Rambam borrowed a lashon where Hashem warns Bnei Yisrael and says to them, listen, you want the Kedusha, but you have to be prepared for the Kedusha, and you're not prepared, you're not worthy of it. You're not ready for it, you're not royal l'kach. Arba nichnasu l'pardes. Only one of them was nichnas b'sholom, the yotze b'sholom, even though they were all great. Because they didn't have the kelim, they weren't prepared, they didn't have the understanding, they didn't have the Kedusha. Rabbi Akiva was nichnas b'sholom, one of them went crazy, one of them died, one of them became an apikoros. But the point is that in the study of Torah, this is what the Rambam is doing. We're not talking about Maimed Har Sinai anymore. We're talking about the chefts of the Torah. That's why the Rambam called it HaTorah Kedosha. HaTorah Kedosha has three things you have to worry about, not to make a mistake. It's important, royal Adam is burning, but you have to have three flashing stop signs in front of you at all times. If you're going to be mizboning, what is flashing sign number one? Don't dismiss it as trivial or irrelevant just because you don't understand. There are a lot of Bali Gaiva that say, you know what, just like, who needs this puzzle, or what is that all about, or who cares? You know, Rashi doesn't know what he's talking about. That's the first thing the Rambam says. Al yehi kal be'enov. But then the Rambam says, what about the person that says, oh, this is very heavy stuff, but I'm going to explain it to you. And then he gets involved in esoterics that he doesn't have the slightest idea of what he's talking about. He's not prepared for. He's definitely not entitled. Even the Roi Lizbonei is not entitled to go beyond where he's capable of. And these things, something, there's some sort of a Yetzer Hara that you really want to be the master of things that you can't be the master of. So the Rambam says, Al Yeros El Hashem Pen Yifrotz Bo. And then there's a third thing. Now Soloveitchik once gave a tremendous drasha about this third thing, so to speak. And a lot of times, a person looks at the Torah and he's influenced by all kinds of modern theories or modern analyses, and he says something that psychoanalyzes the Torah or that puts the Torah in a social context. For example, there used to be a time when the reformers would say, there's no problem eating pig. The problem of eating pig was when there was no refrigeration. Because then you'd get trichinosis. You'd get some sort of disease because there was infestations in the chazer. But now that we have no problem, millions of people eat chazer and they're just fine. So there's no problem in eating chazer. The Torah, very hygienic. The Torah is wonderful, but it was for a different time. What's that called in the Lashon HaRambam? It's not dismissing it as trivial and irrelevant. It's very relevant. It's very relevant in its time. It's certainly not making something super holy out of it that we're not ready for. So what is it? So the Rambam says, Lo tehei machshavto bo kemachshavto b'sha'ar divrei chol. Remarkable line. He should not look at it. That's the first warning of Hashem. Don't go up in the mountain thinking it's just the mountain to graze your animals. This mountain is Kedusha. So when a person approaches the Torah and he looks at the Torah, he cannot look at the Torah except with the eyes of the Torah itself. And that's why, and that's where the Rambam comes in with the business of Me'ilah. Why is it doing at the end of Me'ilah? He says, Bo'ur e kama hechmira Torah b'Me'ilah. Now he repeats all three. You know what yivait means, to kick with your foot. Like, yeah, I don't need this. This is nothing. Lo yivait bohen mipnei shlo yeda taimon. He shouldn't impute all kinds of spiritual things which are not even valid about the Ribbono Shel Olam. He repeated all three things when he speaks about Me'ilah. And now he says an amazing thing. The Pasuk says, he says, wait a minute. If it says Vasisa Mosam, what's Ushmartem? Shmartem means to do. That's how we normally interpret it. We should keep the mitzvahs. But Vasisam is to keep the mitzvahs. So what's Ushmartem? So he writes, Asiya Yudua, Vuhu Sheyasa Achukim, Vashmira Sheyizoher Bohen Velo Yedame Sheim Pchusim Min HaMishpatim. It says, because in Chukim, that's where the danger lies. Mishpatim are logical, so a person understands we're not allowed to steal. In all the generations, we know we're not allowed to steal. So everybody's very happy that the Torah says you're not allowed to steal. And nobody's going to say there's something very deep and esoteric about this. You're not allowed to steal. Just as simple as that. It's not trivial. It's not super spiritual. And certainly, a person doesn't think it belonged to a different time, although there are many people who think that the Torah doesn't seem to stand in the way, but that's because they're scoundrels and ganovim and gazlonim. But a person serious knows that it's for all time. It's very poshut. What about chukim though? What about v'esach hazir and so on? The Rambam says, that's where it says Ushmartem. You have to be super careful not to let your intelligence get in the way. Not to let your mind start to make believe or think thoughts that are inappropriate. That's why the Rambam started out. Roy l'odom l'zbonin b'mishpitei ha-Torah ha-Kedosha. It's very, very makbid to write that. It's not because he suddenly got religious on us. It's the Torah HaKadosha that we're talking about. I just wanted to be Messiah with the words of the Shulah HaKadosh. The Shulah HaKadosh knows this Rambam, and he looks at Parah Aduma, and he says that there's this principle somewhere in Parah Aduma that it's Metayer as HaTmeyin. That's what it does. And it's also Metayer as HaTohor, Metame as HaTohor. Now, we went through what exactly is the case of Metamei HaSatorim. And we explained that it's not the person who's sprinkling on the Tomei, and it's not, according to the Chachomim even, if he sprinkles by accident on the Torah. But somewhere, even if it's someone who carries Shelo Litzorech, there is a concept that the same thing that is used for Tara can be a source of Tumah. That's amazing. So the Shulah HaKadosh says, let's look at that on a spiritual plane. He says, you can learn Torah and study Torah, and you can be metayer, the negative koichus inside of you. You can purify yourself. But if you chas v'sholem climb where you're not supposed to, then the same Torah, that's what he calls noisei shalei l'tzarech. It's not your business. You went beyond where your level is. You're not royal kach. It's called shalom l'tzayr, because it's not going to get you anywhere. It's wrong. It's going to be false. It's going to be misinterpretation. But if you insist on doing it, you know what's going to happen? You'll become more corrupt. And that's the same Torah has that koyach. And you know the Gemara says that the Torah can be sama de chaya and sama de mosa. It can be an elixir of life, a magic potion, the best refuah, samad chayim, refuah of life, but it can also be a terrible potion of death, samad mosa. And that's what the Shulah HaKadosh was saying about the Parah Aduma, that the same thing has this koach to be metame as ha-tahorim. If you go where you don't belong, it becomes a noisei mechatos. Very fascinating idea. Well, we could say a lot more, but I think it's time to daven Ma'ariv. As the Hashem Yisbarach, I just want you to know one thing. I've been around, I guess if I'm an American, I'm allowed to say this. I've been around the bases a lot of times, many times. The phrase. I've seen many Talmidim. I've watched people grow, and I've watched people fall. I remember one particular case, someone came back from Eretz Yisrael, and it was the most astonishing thing. He was on fire. But a lot of times you have people who are on fire for Torah, for Yiddishkeit, they sequester themselves into the Beis Medrash, and they don't know from anybody or anything. But he was very different. He had this incredible charm. That time, there was a pizza shop. There's always a pizza shop across the street from where you since, I don't know, probably from the last 40 years at least. But they have different owners. That time, there were two Israelis that owned the pizza shop. And they were marginally Shomer Shabbos, I suppose you could say, marginally. So he would come in and he would talk to them and charm them out, off their feet. I used to watch in amazement. He'd go in once in a while to have a cup of coffee. He was not in my shiur, this fellow. But eventually he found me and he started attaching himself to me, like many of the other non-members of my shiur in the yeshiva. But be that as it may, it was the most incredible thing. You thought that he had it all. He had the charm and the friendship and the humor and the kindness. And he was sitting and learning, Yom Valayla. It was the most amazing thing. What a transformation. Because until that point, I think the only thing he was ever interested in was in hockey. That was his thing. So he was the captain of his hockey team in high school or wherever that was, and on and on and on. Just yoimim v'layla. Went to Eretz Yisrael, caught on fire, a changed person with him. And one day I discover that he's somewhere in Florida and he's not a Shomer Shabbos. Most amazing thing. And I spent a lot of time trying to figure that out. Like, you know, where did it go wrong? What happened? So you could say it was too much, too soon. I mean, I guess you could probably say that. You could say that, perhaps. But it was so real. It was so authentic. And to go to that extreme, okay, so you get a little bit cooled off. You know, you begin to come to terms with your responsibilities. Your parents get to you. You know, you shouldn't be learning so much. What's going to be? You need a parnosa. You need this. You need that. Go back to law school. Something. But this extreme didn't make any sense. That was a real chok, you know. Amati akoma v'irachoka mimeni. What's going on? And then I realized what happened. It's a very, very fascinating thing. You see, he made a deal with the Ribbono Shel Olam. It's not that he told it to me ever in so many terms, but I had many conversations with him before he left the yeshiva. And I realized that this is what happened. I'm not just imagining it, I'm sort of extrapolating from the conversations that we had. He had made a deal with the Ribbono Shel Olam. Ribbono Shel Olam, you fill my heart with yourself. You embrace me. Make me feel your presence at all times. And I will be yours completely. You don't bargain with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. You don't bargain with Hashem never said, if you're a good boy for a couple of days and all of a sudden I will be everything to you. Hashem says, I'll be everything to you no matter what. And Hashem says, don't make any bargains with me. And what happened here is one day he didn't feel HaKadosh Baruch Hu the way he did the day before. He said, oh, Ribbono Shel Olam, you're not with me anymore, then I'm not with you either. That's what happened. It is incredible humility that a person has to have. And that's what he was missing. He thought, you know, some people think they're Mashiach. Some people think that they're the next Gadol Hador. Some people think that the Ribbono Shel Olam is in their pocket. A person has to approach the Torah with tremendous humility. You know what the amazing thing is? That's where HaKadosh Baruch Hu really is. Kol makom she'ata moitzei gedulasei shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu, shom ata moitzei anvisonusei. She'ne'emar, morom eshkom ve'ezdaka ushfal ruach. I live on high. There's nothing greater than Hashem. Morom eshkom. But where do I dwell? I dwell amongst the dako shvaluach, the miserable, the oppressed, because they are humble. The shvaluach. Humility, says Ribbono Shel Olam, you owe me nothing. Because everything I have and everything I am is because of you, and I'm not deserving of it. I'm not that perfect, I'm not that great, I'm not that special. I am perfect, and I am great, and I am special. Ribbono Shel Olam says, I don't have anything to do with you. Who are you? Who do you think you are? That kind of humility allows a person to be a tremendous Talmud because he doesn't think he's the Rebbe. It allows him to be a tremendous Eved Hashem because he doesn't think he's the Master. And above all else, he doesn't say, I made a bargain with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. As long as he's with me, I'm going to be with him. And once a person descends into the real self, with that kind of humility, ironically, HaKadosh Baruch Hu lifts him up, and then he's taka with him. That's why HaKadosh Baruch Hu is with the Chafetz Chaim, who could go in the middle of the day, tzaddik that he was, and who knows what kind of averus he could possibly have done. And he would go into the room privately and start screaming at himself and crying his heart out. What's going to be with me? What kind of a person am I? When am I ever going to fix my chesronos? That kind of person HaKadosh Baruch Hu is with. You know how much he's with? He passed in all our shadows in the Rechaim and the Mishnah Berurah. We learn the Chafetz Chaim Shneur Saloshim. People learn Kachim, learn his Torahs. We tell stories from the Chafetz Chaim. It's unbelievable. Chafetz Chaim became the master. That little short man who didn't even wear a regular rabbinic hat. He wore one of these caps like a peasant. And that's how he went to the conventions and to the drushes. Chafetz Chaim. Rabban shall call you Yisrael. That's what happened. And I'm convinced that that's what happened with this boy. He said to Rebbe Shalom, you know, I'm with you as long as you're with me. We're a partnership. There's no such thing as a partnership. The Rebbe Shalom comes to the person who admits that he's not really shaykh to the parsha. And that's really what the Rambam is trying to say. You have a right, a God-given right to approach the Torah, but you have to be perpetually scared out of your wits that you're not making a mistake. So how do you approach the Torah? You have to have rebbeim, you have to spend a lot of years. And in Ochanami, everybody's entitled. Everybody is allowed to walk through those gates. But what stands before him is an unbelievably precious, delicate, and incredibly sensitive thing. And it does not brook any of those three things. It shouldn't be kal be'enov, al yechape al ha'torah dvorim that aren't, al yeros al Hashem pen yifritz bo, nor should he ever treat it like the way he would understand and analyze a text that is chol. This isn't Shakespeare. It isn't Shakespeare, I would say. It isn't Herodotus and Thucydides and Sophocles and Homer. It's Torah HaKadosh. And that kind of Torah requires, above all else, an extraordinary amount of humility. That humility, a person can go in and conquer the world. Because HaKadosh Baruch Hu with them will be with him. Minayin shafil echad sheyoshev v'oisik b'toyra shashchina imoy shenema b'chol ha'mokam asher askir eshmi. Did you ever notice an interesting thing about that pasuk? Mefarshim asked that question. It's not my own idea. It's speaking about a person who learns Torah and it's trying to prove that if you learn Torah, even if you're by yourself, then HaKadosh Baruch Hu comes to you. But the pasuk doesn't say that. The pasuk says, "Kamokam Hashem, ask here." Hashem is talking. I will ask here, Hashmi, Avay Alecho Ve'erachticha. So one of the Mefarshim answers an amazing thing. You know why it says ask here, Hashmi? Because when HaKadosh Baruch Hu comes to you, becomes your chavrusa. He's learning there too. He's masking his own name. Shmi means the Torah. But it's asking Hashmi because Hashem is there with you, b'chavrusa. So if a person has that humility, HaKadosh Baruch Hu becomes the chavrusa. That's why the Rav used to talk about this so many times, how he's learning and all of a sudden he feels that he's surrounded. And the Rambam is here, and the Ravid is here, and they're arguing, and he says, and they say. I mean, it was so beautiful the way he used to describe it. But sometimes I feel that way myself in the middle of the night when nobody's around. 4 o'clock in the morning, I finally get a chance to sit and learn a little bit after a really heavy-duty day. I mean, what do I do all day? I try to teach, I try to help people, but it's not real heavy-duty learning. That starts at 4 o'clock in the morning, 2 o'clock, 3 o'clock, sometimes 4 o'clock. And there's nobody around, and it's totally quiet, and I really feel the presence of the Shechina. And I say, Rabbanu Shalom, I'm very grateful because I'm not worthy of Ki Hu Zeh. And where do I come to this? Where do I come to this tremendous matana of understanding the little bit of Torah that I'm able to understand and to be able to give it over to others? It's not unbelievable. So that's what I wanted to tell you. You're all going to embark on journeys of Torah and Yirat Shamayim. Take it as far as it can go, but with the humility of knowing that The Ribbono Shel Olam only dwells with those who know ultimately that they're nothing. It's an interesting paradox. But the Vilna Gaon thought he was nothing. So we can also think that we are nothing. It won't hurt. Hatzlocha Rabbah.